Good morning. There you go. Sorry about that. One, two, three, four, five, six. Thank you once again. And well, here am I again, right in front of you guys. And I asked that you pray for me, that what I have to say that God has put in my heart will make sense at the end, and perhaps I say something that it might apply, you might apply it to your life, to your heart. You know, we all going through things these days, and we all dealing with something, no matter what it is. It's been a really busy week for me and my work. I'm sure for everybody, it's like the peak season of business, and there's a lot of people in the city. It was so hard for me to study after coming home from work, and it's just been so exhausting. I see myself in the mirror, and I'm like, oh, I need some time off. It's coming, and I'm happy for it. But other than that, I did make some time to be able to study in the afternoon and the best I can, and praying to God to give me the thoughts that I need to bring in today. And you know, I'm always have the comfort that He's always aware of all of us, and He always makes it happen. He always makes it happen. He always help you out, no matter what. So perhaps I'm not planning to spend a whole hour or maybe 20 minutes, but we'll see. We believe, and it's just how the Book of Mormon teach that we go on as the Spirit lead us. And it's nothing you can say about that. You know, sometimes you're like, hey, you need to cut it shorter, but it's just like, that's not how it works, you know? Sometimes I have said, hey, because some people, they're like, yeah, just spending too much time with the Yates. But it's not that. I just like to talk and hear myself. No, I'm just kidding. This picture right here that I have in my computer is right outside of my house. It's an arch, and it's full of flowers. And in the evening, they kind of close down, and then and they open in the morning when the sun comes up. It's like they reopen. It's like they go to sleep in the evening and they wake up in the morning. But I'm like, okay, I need a picture. I need something to show before I start my slides, before I start going with my slicing. And I thought this is really beautiful, because you can see the blue skies in the back and the green of the leaves and the flowers, the roses. By the way, these are special roses that my wife got from her father. They were brought from Ohio. So I take care of them the best I can. And when you like smell them, they smell so good. They smell so good. And it's like, hey, you know, these natural things, this is all part of the creation, you know. A lot of people, they're like asking questions of those who don't believe. They're like, there's really a God up there. There's a God exist. You know, are you guys preaching the right God? I think a lot of people that don't believe that, they're in the dark. They're in the dark because they don't have the light. They don't have the light of Christ. And I have a scripture of that we're going to run into as we go. And I think it makes sense. And I think it makes, how people feel Some people feel the same way when they don't know the truth, when they don't know there is a God up there. And well, you know, I was one of them. I was one of them because I didn't apply it into my life, you know, the truth. That is a big decision to make. But the Spirit of God works in people's hearts. I believe that. I believe that, and he worked in mine, and not too long ago, it worked in one of my family members, which I'm really happy about it. So I know the Spirit of God is moving up there. It's moving. And well, you know, we have the opportunity to, and the blessing to be here today, because with work today, you can be working today instead of being here or doing other things, but I consider myself blessed because, you know, any day, any time, all this freedom that we have can change. You know, I heard comments up there that people that don't believe in God, they're asking the governor to remove crosses that are up on the road, that are up on high mountains, or maybe perhaps in churches, they don't want to see crosses. I mean, it's just, war is just getting crazy and crazier, and everything that was under the water is coming above the water now. Without shame, it's like, shame is like, left behind. The word shame doesn't exist anymore. It's just like, right there, and everything is going on, especially if you have you know, phones and computers. It's like everything is being shoved, and you, like it or not, here it comes. You like it or not, here I am. Oh, like it or not, here it is. And there's no way around, and you can't avoid it. It's right there. And as Christians, we know the truth, and we know what displeased God and what pleased him. So that's the type of life we live in these days. We're going to start with, this is one of my puppies, and I don't know what kind of dog is it, but it's not a Chihuahua, Brother Adam. we still don't know yet, but it's a really hyper dog who doesn't sit still. And so today, for those who don't know, today is the National Pet Parent Day. I thought that was interesting. We don't know what day it is where we live, unless if you can, they're always searching for things. But I thought that was pretty interesting. But it's not just National Pet Parents Day. You know, these dogs, these animals, they bring peace to you. They bring happiness to you when you are alone. They bring, they're always making you, you know, comfortable. Mary has a dog called Frodo. And I call him my therapy dog, because he always makes me happy and calms me down, especially when I was sick. He was brought home, and I always have him and everything. So they do comfort you, and they always make you happy. Today is also the Orthodox Easter, which we just celebrated a week ago. And today is they're celebrating, and we consider ourselves the Westerns. So we, the Westerns, celebrate the Easter a week before. But for what I wrote is the Orthodox Easter, they can fall any day, so they never have the same day, because they follow the Julian calendar. They follow the Julian calendar, which is Julian Caesar. Of course, we follow the Gregorian calendar, which is the calendar that we use now. And so today, this is Orthodox Easter. My sermon is not about Easter, maybe a little bit, but not all. National Pigs in a Blanket Day. Do you know what those are? You know what those are? I mean, I was a pro making breakfast. I was really good making breakfast. And I used to make these snacks or whatever, but instead of with that type of bread, I used to use pancakes, the real deal. But today is the National Pigs in a Blanket, for those who know what those are. I thought that was pretty interesting. I mean, what does this has to do? You know, it has a little bit of history. Sometimes when you get into it, it's like right here, it says they actually date back back to it goes back to the 1600s, where field workers were wrapped meat and they could eat for lunch. And I can see that happen, like, you know, the days that people used to work hard in the fields, they used to eat, or they can eat because they will not know when the next meal will be. So you have to eat really good and a lot. So I thought that was pretty interesting. Oh, this picture right here, Iskander. Could you guys see what's in there? Yeah, it's pretty clear. Me and my friend here, Gary, we were mountain biking. We almost ran over this thing. Because from far up, as you're going so fast, you can see it right away. If it doesn't move, you run right over it. And who knows what will happen. So after, you know, we saw her and we just kind of wait and let her go by. And after she went under, I don't know, she or he went under the bush. I went and take a picture. And you can see it's a kind of coiled a little bit. They're like ready to strike on something. But I still went and took a picture. And my wife yelled at me. But, you know, it's like you got to be really careful. For those who like the desert, I mean, there's a lot of people that like the desert here. You got to keep an eye really close to see these things. Be aware the danger is right there in front of you. And you're so busy on doing all the things that you have, you don't know. The danger is right there, ready to get you. The enemy hides himself and anything and everything and everywhere. We run into him. We just don't know how it's going to attack you. But, you know, Paul says and to wear the armor of God all the time. And this is what he's talking about, you know, because it's every day. It's a war that we have every day that we have to fight. And it can appear in any forum. It can be talking, music, movies, and, you know, you cut something in your eye and you know you're not supposed to see that. It's just everywhere. The enemy is going to get you one way or another and trying to make you fall. And then you just have to be aware of that. And Peter 5a says, be sober, be vigilant, because you adversary the devil is a running lion walking about, seeking who he may devour. Seeking. He's always seeking. He doesn't rest. That should be us, but I can say that for myself. I'm always seeking, but God lives in me. I'm trying to seek him even deeper. You know, it's interesting what Paul says when he says, the gospel that I know that I'm preaching to you, I didn't learn it from men. He said, I learned it from God. God gave it to me. Sometimes I pray to God, I'm like, why can I be like Paul? I'm reading and studying. And the day before that I'm supposed to be here, I'm still reading. It's 12 o'clock. My wife is like, you should go to bed. It's way too late. And I'm just trying to memorize. But that's not how it is, you know. I think that you have to just let the Spirit of God lead you. And sometimes I overdo it, or maybe even all of us overdo it. And at the end, you go a different way to what you started the night before. But it says right here, be vigilant, be careful, be aware, because he is everywhere. The devil is just right there. Clear as water, the devil is around you, always, all the time. And it can cause divisions. It can cause any type of problems, even in between us, church people. This little small group that we have here, it can cause all these things. 1 Corinthians 3:1, it says, and I, brethren, cannot speak unto you as in a spiritual, but as into a carnal, even as in two babies in Christ. I have feed you with milk, and not with meat. For you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. Because we are giving him an opportunity, we open the doors to those thoughts, to those things that they may turn us around against others. We still in the carnal world, we can, I think I've still been filled with milk, just like he said. I still have a lot to learn. But as we are here every Sunday and hear God's word, or every time you open his word, his books where you find his word, we should know the things. We should know the message that you hear. And that will make you strong and being able to be able to put away those things that cause divisions. And instead, treat ourselves with love and kindness. Just like it says in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 13, I believe. To love each other, to pray for each other, to be kind to each other. We're not the same people. We have different habits. I have different habits that you have, that you don't have. I like this, and perhaps you don't like what I do. You like something else that I don't think I like it. We have different habits, but we have the same spirit of God. We are the children of God. And that should keep us as glue together and help each other. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are yet not carnal and walk as a man? Yes, we are. Yes, we are. And that's why we need the food, the spiritual food of God, the spiritual words. We need them because we're still carnal and we walk as a man. And we have a weakness. They it can get us and bring us down. And at the end, just because I say good morning to one of you guys and then answer me, I'm going to walk away and feel reproach because you didn't answer me. It's those things like that is what causes us to be divided. We're not here to please each other. We're here to worship God, each other. And we should be in one spirit. I'm always say that, and maybe you guys tired of me here, but we should be in one spirit because we are the bride of Christ. As a church, we are the bride of Christ. We should stick together. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as in a spiritual, but as into carnal, even as into babes. Did I just read that? I'm sorry. 1 John 4:7. Beloved, let us love one to another, for love is God, and every one that loveth is born of God and know God. And I believe that that applies to us. That we should love everyone. Because if we don't have love, we don't know God. We don't belong to Him. We're not part of Him. We're just here to please each other, to please others. Instead, by sitting you here, that's not how you get salvation. You can be here every Sunday, but if you're not in the right spot with God, your salvation, what did they say? You better check yourself. You know, examine yourself. See where you are. Because by being here, salvation doesn't come to you. We have to work on that and be more. Because it says what is without love, we are nothing. If we don't have love, we don't know anything. We don't have anything. Love is very, very important. If we have love, you know God. In Acts, when Peter was in his mind in those days, we all know that he thought that this gospel of salvation was only for the Jews. He had no idea. And this, I thought it was pretty interesting that he come to the understanding that, wait a minute, then this salvation is not just for us. It's for the whole world. And if you remember, you know, when Christ was dying in the cross, when he died, actually, they just walk away and start doing their own thing that they used to love to do because they thought that was it. It's over. But they didn't remember that Christ told them, you know, after 3 days, I will rise. And I will see you in Galilee, I believe. I will see you there, but in 3 days, and they never get that. They never understand that. And so much that Christ appears to some woman first instead of appear to them. And I was thinking that, but why is that? You know? And of course, as man, this woman come to me and say, hey, I just saw Christ. Well, wait a minute. You saw just Christ. He's dead. He died. What do you mean you just saw him? You know, we just have to humble ourselves a little bit more and know that it's more up there that perhaps we don't have understanding about it yet. In Acts 10:9, in the morrow, as they went into the journey and drew nigh into the city, Peter went up into the housetop to pray about the sixth hour and become very hungry. Angry. No, that would be me. Very hungry. And they will and would have eaten. I get angry when I don't eat. He have become very angry and will have eaten. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw a heaven open and a certain vessel descending into him as it had been a great sheet at night at the four corners and let down to the earth wherein were all manners of four-footers, beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls and the air of the air. And there came a voice to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice speaking to him again the second time, what God had cleansed, thou could not thou common. What God has cleansed, you can't call it dirty. And if you remember what Christ said, you know, it doesn't matter what it goes into your body, it's what it comes out of you, because what it comes of you is the worst. It comes from deeper. That's the dirty things, you know. The understanding here is pretty interesting, and that's like your brain goes all crazy. Because, I mean, for Peter, I mean, what do you mean kill these animals and eat? I don't need lizards. I don't need snakes. I don't need, you know, all those things. What do you mean? What does that mean? And the next verses explain so beautiful. So we continue on in the 30. And Cornelius, so this is once the people that Cornelius sent to get Peter, it comes to the understanding of Peter. And Cornelius say, 4 days ago I was fasting into this hour, and in the ninth hour I pray in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing. Praying, brothers, is I underline it right there. Is a lot of the times when we get together on Wednesdays, or you pray for your house or anywhere, prayer is very important. Perhaps you pray here for something that somebody else is praying over there, like Brother Adam, and the open prayer say, you know, God will lead us when we have the opportunity to visit, to pay a visitation to those who are scattered. And the time will come when it's the right time. A lot of times it doesn't work out when you plan it. And we say in Mexico, uno propone y otro dispone, Dios dispone. You can make a plan. You can make a plan, but God has something else prepared for you. So while this Roman guy, Roman centurion, was praying, you know, opening his heart to God, asking for guidance, because he knew God, even if he was a Roman And how did he know God? Because, you know, by then, who knows how many years has been that Christ was crucified. So he was aware of all that. And after his resurrection, perhaps he knew more about Christianity and, you know, about followers of Christ. So at the end, the Spirit of God was in him. It was helping him to find the way out. And as he knew to pray, he was preparing Peter at the same time. Be ready. I have something for you. And Peter was like going to this Roman guy. Wait a minute. Can this be true? But God is going to prepare you. It's going to prepare me. It's going to prepare who's ready to follow. He said, you know, never mind these other things. You just follow me. Just follow me. I'll show you where to go. Continue on. And I say, Cornelius, thy prayer, this is God, is heard. Oh, the angel that appeared to him. And thy alms are heard in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon the Tanner by the sea, whom when he cometh shall speak unto thee. And immediately therefore I send to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore are we all here present before God to hear all things they are commanded thee of God? And that is our purpose. As Christians, our followers of God, that's our purpose. We all have a purpose. And our purpose is to prepare ourselves. And just don't mind what you think, like me. Like every time I stand here, I don't know if I can do this. I feel so nervous and I feel this and that. You know, God will provide. He will provide. What did he say to Samuel? Say, or that I will put my words in your mouth. You know, he will teach you. He will let you know what to say when the time comes that he's going to use you. If you remember, the words are Korihor. Korihor was something that is, he was like believing and not believing in God. So he was speaking the things that he thought they were the right things, trying to confuse people, especially those who were believers already. And so the most important question, and what is the question? Alma 16:61. Now Korihor said unto him, this is after Alma, after he was in the presence of Alma, he was going around teaching false teachings, and the people told him to the judges. And so this is him speaking, trying to defend himself. He says, no, Korihor, say unto him, I do not deny the existence of God. So when Alma asked him, you know, we're trying to make it see the things here. So the question is, do you believe in God? That is the most important question they ask him. And that's the most important question that you can ask anyone. And I will know that this person, once you ask them this question, his brain is going to go all over the place and his heart is going to start swelling up. What should I answer? Yes or no? And he said, I do not deny the existence of God, but I do not believe that there is a God. And I say also that you do not know that there is a God, and except you show me a sign, I will not believe. Here it is. I will not believe. This is the enemy working to him. And at the end, you know, if you have read it, it says the devil was speaking to him. So the devil in the beginning hides everywhere. hides everywhere. We need to be careful with that. He hides everywhere, either from you, or for the ones that you're speaking to. It's gonna attack you one way or another. Now Alma said unto him, "This will I give unto thee for a sign, that thou shalt be struck dumb, according to my words, and I say that in the name of God that you should be struck dumb, that you should no more have utterance." 65-69, and behold, he hath showed unto you a sign, and now will you dispute more? And Korihor put forth his hand and wrote, saying, "I know that I am dumb, for I cannot speak, and I know that nothing save it were the power of God could bring this upon me. Yea, and I also knew that there was a God." What was preventing him to say that? "I know there is a God. I know there was a God." It's the enemy behind you. Where Christ said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." He was hiding in Peter too. He was speaking through Peter. That's pretty interesting. He could speak to whoever he wants. He has the power, I guess. "And behold, the devil has deceived me. For he appeared to me in the form of an angel and saying to me, 'Go and reclaim this people, for they have all gone astray after an unknowing God.' And he saying to me, 'There is no God yet.' And he taught me that which I shall say. And I thought these words, and I taught them because they were pleasing unto the carnal mind." You know, this is what Paul was talking about. We're still in the carnal. We have to study to know the word of God. And to, like I said, we are in war every day. We are in war every day. "We are pleasing unto the carnal mind. And I thought them, even unto I had so much success." He did a really good job. He was bringing people into, you know, leading them to a strange path from the right path. "And so much that I barely believe that they were true." This is the flattering words up there, the fancy words that the people, these big churches throw to the people of God and confuse them, and they just go. And they just go like box to lights, you know, how box lights, lights. It's just like, and when they get to the light, they burn down. This is something that we fight. We have a fight for it. Because a lot of people do like other things instead of the truth. "And for this cause, I went stir the truth, even until I have brought this great curse upon me." Let us not doubt after we have followed God, after you have accepted him in your heart, after you have tied that knot with him, like a wedding, like when I married my wife and I said I promised that I will take care of her, that I will always be with her no matter what. That's what happened when we go into the waters of baptism. We make that promise. Even there are people today that don't believe in baptism. They say that teaching is from the devil. You don't need to be baptized. Just believe by faith, by grace, you are safe. I do believe that too. But I think that if you just do that, anytime you're just going to go back to your old life, like a dog to his vomit. That's what happens. But when you go under the water and you follow that commandment, as Christ told his disciples, go around the world baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. There. And of course, in Mark 16:16, it says, if you don't believe, you condemn. You will go in Revelation. So It says right there, those who are not found in the book of life, written, they're going to go to the lake of fire, which is the second death, and from where there's no return. Baptism has a lot to do, so don't doubt. Thomas here, after 8 days, again, his disciples were between and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace be unto you." Then say he to Thomas, "Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and trust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing." And Thomas answered and said unto him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said unto him, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed." My brother Joe once said that when he went to either Africa, they asked him, put the question, "How do you know this God?" And he answered, "You feel the wind, you breathe it and everything, but you don't see it. But you do believe it. There's air. It's air in the space. I mean, in this world. And because that, you are alive. So God is the same way. It's the same way. He is our creator. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet they have believed. Doubts. That's a really important word. They should not even exist in our teachings. We should not doubt, just believe. I mean, the last weekend, Brother Jay and Brother Adam, they preach about the resurrection, you know, which a lot of people don't like to talk about it. But he did. By him suffering in the cross, you were saved. You the one that should be in the cross, not him. You know, just like the thief that was hanging right next to him. You know, you haven't done anything, and here you are. We deserve it, but not you. He humbled himself, and what happened? At the last minute, he was safe. So even now, in those days when he was hanging, they were mocking him, but now they're still mocking him. Like I said in my comment, what do they call those people that don't believe in God? They're the ones that want every single cross removed from everywhere. They're mocking him. They're mocking God. Then the soldiers, Matthew 27:27-31, then the soldiers and the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered into him the whole band of soldiers, and they stripped him and put him and a scarlet robe. They were mocking him. And when they had played a crown of thorns, they put it up on his head and written his right hand and written his right hand, and they bowed to the knee before him and mocking him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they spit on him, and they took a reed and they smote on him on the head. And after that they had mocking him, they took the robe up from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. You know, when they were doing those things, these soldiers, that's when he prayed to God. He asked God, his Father, forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're doing. Matthew 26:29. "But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." 27:34. "They give him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall, and when he had tasted it, he will not drink it." I put this scripture here in 26:29 because I think that's what it means. He didn't want, gall is some type of drug. It's just like being in hospice. They keep you comfortable until you die. So this drink they were giving him here, he knew that it was not just something that he should take. He wanted to make sure, not make sure, he wanted to feel He wanted to be conscious what was going on around him. That's what they used to give the people that were crucified so they didn't feel pain or suffering. Because the same day, he died. Couple hours. And for what I read, it can take from hours to 6 days for you to die on the cross. So when Joseph, what was his last name? They went to ask for his body to Pilate. Pilate was surprised that he was dead so soon, because it takes longer than that. And that's why when the soldiers went to break the thieves that were hanging on each side, they went to him and he was dead, so they didn't have to break his legs. For whatever reason, they were trying to speed up that day, the death of them. But he died between hours, not days. And he was so surprised about that, but he didn't drink that. And I thought that was pretty interesting. He wanted to know everything was going on. And once again, he suffered for you and I. And the day passed by, rebuild him, waving their hands, the hairs, and saying, "Thou that destroys this temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. If you be the Son of God, come down from that cross." Likewise, also the chief priests mocking him with the scribes and elders say, "He saved others, himself cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe in him." Who you think was speaking to those people? I would say that it was the enemy. He was celebrating his victory because he thought he had won, that he had won. He didn't win. That was not victory. That was not his victory. But by speaking through those people, how they were mocking him, it was just nothing but Satan. Even as he was suffering. In Matthew 27:15-20, I write down there, "Let us not make the same mistake again, but choose the right." Let us choose the right. Christ in our lives. Now, at that feast, the governor was want to release into the people a prisoner whom they would. And they have then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate saying to them, "Whom will you that I release unto you? Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ?" For he knew that for envy they have delivered him. If you remember, you know, Pilate's wife was telling him, "Hey, I have nothing to do with this man because he's not killed or anything. And because that, I've been suffering." So he was listening to his wife, and that's why he washed his hands. "I have nothing to do with this." He wanted to release him, but God had a plan, and this had to happen. If you remember when Isaac and what was his father's name? Abraham. Thank you. When Abraham wasn't ready to sacrifice his son, you know, his son asked him, "I see the wood, I see the fire, the knife, but where is the sacrifice? You know, where is it?" And Abraham told him, "God will provide." So there was no way out. Not that he was being punished, Christ was being punished. He knew this has to be the way. For love, he died for you because he loves you. And he loves me. So was he glad that they chose Barabbas instead of him? I think everything would have changed, would have gone a different way. But that was the only way for you and I to be safe. and for be part of him and his kingdom. Yeah, 18. For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. When he was set down in the judgment seat, his wife sent to him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with this judgment? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and the elders pursued the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. I guess they thought that they went. And they had it their way. But God had a plan. He had a plan. And they didn't know it. Because they were blind. They know the scriptures. But they didn't have all the understanding. You know, Christ told his disciples, "You are blessed because to you has been revealed the true gospel. And that's why he was speaking in a way that people had not understanding so much that a lot of they thought they were following him, they leave because they thought that this is too hard for us. And that's why he's speaking to them to parables. And to us who know him, he gives us the understanding. So, how to know the true spirit of God? In John 10:10, the thief come not but for to steal and kill and to destroy. And I come that they might have life, and that day they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd give his life for the sheep. This is my favorite chapter, John 10, because it leads you straight to who he is. And what are we dealing with in these days? John, 1 John 4, 1, 2, 3. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ comes in the flesh is not of God. So when you have a conversation with someone, you know, it's like, if you want to know the truth, let's go and study and open the books. If you want to be a contention, I just don't want to deal with you. You are wasting my time. And that would be someone who is against Christ and is trying to prove you that he doesn't exist. So why bother? Why bother? This is how I understand it. Try the spirit who you're dealing with right in front of you. And you can just decide to continue on or to put a fight or just to walk away. 2 Peter 2:1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there should be false teachers among you, who probably should bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord. They bathe them, and bring upon themselves a sweet destruction. There's people, there's teachers, there's false teachers up there, and we hear that over and over, that they are in the world. And he says, you know, they are now in the world. The Antichrist, they are in the world right now, and well, we live in a country that is free of religion, so we had to deal with all those things that are around us. After all, they had the freedom, but there's only one God, one judge, one God, and we will be in his presence one day. We will be in his presence. John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's the whole thing. That's the whole of his gospel. That's everything that we should know. You know, everything that we saw. Everything we have read and understand, we have learned in those days. Like Peter, when he baptized the this Roman Cornelius, before that, he told them his experience, how he was walking with Christ, and to the end that he was crucified, and he was a witness that he's not hanging on the cross no more, that he is alive. So that testimony right there, that he gave to Cornelius, the Spirit of the Lord came to them and rest upon them. And they were able to say, what is preventing me from being baptized? If you love me, keep my commandments. And that's the things that we should do, and try and do our best to teach to others that do not know him. And that is our goal, that is our responsibility as followers of Christ, to go around the world like many of our brothers have done and teach others his gospel of salvation. That's my task for today. And I pray and hope that you guys got something from it. Thank you.